There was a court case, and an atheist became incensed over the preparation of Easter and Passover holidays. So he decided to contact his lawyer about the discrimination inflicted on atheists by the constant celebration afforded to Christians and Jews with all their holidays, while atheists had no holiday to celebrate. The case was brought before a wise judge. After listening to the long, passionate presentation by the lawyer, the judge banged his gavel and declared, "Case dismissed." The lawyer immediately stood and objected to the ruling and said, "Your Honor, how can you possibly dismiss this case? Christians have Christmas, Easter, and many other observances. Jews have Passover, Yom Kippur, and Hanukkah. Yet my client and all other atheists have no such holidays." The judge leaned forward in his chair and simply said, "Obviously, your client is too confused to even know about, much less celebrate, his own atheist holiday." The lawyer pompously said, "Your Honor, we are unaware of any such holiday for atheists. Just when might that holiday be, Your Honor?" The judge said, "Well, it comes every year on exactly the same date, April 1st. Since our calendar sets April 1st as April Fool's Day, consider that Psalm 14:1 states, 'The fool says in his heart, there is no God.' Thus, in my opinion, if your client says there is no God, then by scripture he is a fool, and thus April 1st is his holiday." And then this was a prayer for hearing. There was a preacher who said, "Anyone with special needs who wants to be prayed for, please come forward to the front of the altar." With that, Leroy got in line. And when it was his turn, the preacher asked, "Leroy, what do you want me to pray for you?" Leroy replied, "Preacher, I need you to pray for help with my hearing." The preacher then put one finger of his hand in Leroy's ear, placed his other hand on top of Leroy's head, and then prayed and prayed and prayed. He prayed a blue streak for Leroy, and the whole congregation joined in with great enthusiasm. After a few minutes, the preacher removed his hands, stood back, and asked Leroy, "How is your hearing now?" Leroy answered, "I don't know. It ain't till next week." Hallelujah. You know, our God is a fun God. He likes to have fun. And I just want to share with you a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through, we'll just start with verse 6. It says, "But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart." What is your purpose today? All right? What is your purpose with your life? How many want to honor God with their life? All right? Well, we ought to honor God on purpose. And he said, "Let him give, not grudgingly." You know what? God doesn't force anybody to give. I want to let you know that giving is an opportunity. Everybody say opportunity. Opportunity. It is an opportunity for God to increase you, for God to bless you, or for God to multiply that. So with that in consideration, as you give today, at VCF here, we have a container in the back. We call it our seed planter. And that's where we put all of our gifts, our offerings in there. And there's envelopes there. And you, if you make out a check, you can just make it out to VCF. And you can put it in there. But don't feel like you have to, but it's an opportunity. It's an invitation. All right? And not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves what kind of a giver?
Cheerful.
Everybody smile and say, "It's good to give."
It's good to give.
It really is. And what's going to happen when you give cheerfully? He said, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That's all grace continually increasing. That you always have all sufficiency in all things so that you can abound to every good work. So if you want to abound to every good work, sow your gifts cheerfully to the Lord. All right? And Lord, we just give you thanks and praise. We thank you, Father, that your word admonishes us to give. Lord, you give us the benefits of giving. You will bless us. You will multiply us. So therefore, Father, we give to you in faith, not grudgingly, not that we have to, but because we want to, because we love to, because it's a good thing, Lord. And I ask you to bless every gift and every giver in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. We have been studying this month, and it's been awesome. I don't know if I don't think I've ever had as much fun as I've had preaching on peace that passes understanding. I'm telling you, this is exciting, and we're so glad that you can hear this word today. And just, I want you to open your hearts today. Amen. We're not here just to hear some words, but we are here to have an encounter with the living God. See, our God is alive. He is alive forevermore, as our kids were singing about today. He has risen from the dead. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he wants to be involved in your life. But he'll never force his way. He only gives you an invitation. He only comes, you know, he'll knock at the door, but he'll wait until you open the door. Amen? He's standing there knocking on the door of your heart today. The question is, will you open your heart and let him come in? Okay? And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. It also, other translations say, anxious. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be anxious. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, God's listening for your requests, but unless you have a relationship with God, you're not going to be comfortable talking with him. So in order to be comfortable talking with God, you've got to know him, right? The better you know someone, the easier it is to talk with them and to hang out with them. And it says, what's going to happen when you're anxious for nothing, when you're not going to be anxious, but you pray instead? He said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So if you feel like you're beginning to get anxious about something, bills that are due, a sickness that's in your body, problems that you face, challenges that you face, trials that you're in, you know, those things can cause anxiety. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, medication is not the ultimate answer for anxiety. Jesus is the cure for anxiety. But it's going to require you to put your trust in him. If you don't put your trust in him, then your trust is in yourself or something else. You have to make a decision that you are going to trust God. And his peace, oh, that wonderful peace, that powerful peace, it's going to come in and it's going to keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's going to protect your focus. It's going to guard you. It's going to be like a force field around you where no worry, fear, or anxiety can come in. It's going to keep you steady. It's going to keep you strong. You know, when you're steady and strong, you can go through things. Amen? And you can come out on the other side to say what God did through it. Now, if you're going to keep the peace, this is what he said. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, you can either focus on the truth or a lie. Whatsoever things are just, justice, fairness. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are pure. Who wants to drink water from an impure source? I don't want to drink rusty water. Or, you know, one time I was at a summer camp for Boy Scouts or whatever, and all the water smelled like rotten eggs. It was all with sulfur, and every faucet, man, you didn't want to drink from the water. I mean, it smelled like rotten eggs. But you know what? You got to control your mind to not focus on impure things, but pure things. And whatsoever things are lovely, well, who is love? God is love. Amen? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Say a good report. You know, it's easy to talk about the negative, but let's focus on the positive. All right? It's just a shift in your thinking. Then if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So the things, if you want to keep the peace, you've got to think on some things. Now I want to give you a summary of what we've been talking up to this point, and then we're going to move on, all right? Are you with me? All right. I like an active participating church, all right? So peace, what is peace? It's quietness. It's rest, according to Strong's Dictionary. It means to set at one again. You know, how many has ever worked on a puzzle? You got all these pieces, and you got to try to find which piece goes where so that you can form the picture. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but for me, it's frustrating. I'm like, where does this piece go? I'm trying to jam it in, you know. It doesn't fit. But see, to be at peace means to set at one again. It means to take all the pieces and to make a beautiful picture out of it. God will take your ashes. He'll take your sorrows. He'll take your pain, and he'll do something good with it. He'll make something beautiful out of it. He'll make something awesome with it. But the peace that comes from God, part of its definition is to set at one again or to make whole. Nelson's Dictionary, it means completeness. It means soundness. Isn't it good to have a sound mind? Not one that's confused or flustered or frustrated. It means well-being of the total person. I'm talking about a peace that is the whole package. Everything's included in peace. It's a combination of hope, trust, and quiet mind and soul. You know, things could be happening all around you, and you could just be at peace. And people will say, why are you so peaceful? Well, let me tell you why I'm so peaceful. I've got a peace that didn't come from the world. I've got a peace that didn't come from my circumstance. I got a peace that didn't come from people. I got a peace that came from heaven. I put my trust in God, and he gives me a peace that keeps my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. This peace follows a right relationship with God. Listen, if you're not right with God, you know it. But if you're right with God, you know it too. And it's a simple thing to get right with God. It's a simple thing to get connected to God. It's a simple thing to walk with God and to talk with God. You enter into a relationship with him. You invite him into your heart. You say, Lord, be Lord over my heart. I believe in you. And he comes in. And he brings peace. I'm waging a war against confusion today. I'm waging a war against trouble. Listen, we all face trouble. There is confusion. God is not the author of confusion, but he's the author of order. He's the author of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And you can have peace today in your life, in your heart. Peace is available to you today. We got a buffet. It's a sale on peace. Come one, come all, and get all the peace that you need today. This peace is free to all who will believe in it. And this peace from God, it surpasses understanding. What that means it rises above. It surpasses, it excels all human faculties. You could be at peace and not even know how you got there. Because you don't understand it. It's so potent, it's so powerful that when it comes in, you're like, I don't know why, I don't know how, but it's here and I'm enjoying it. See, that's where we got to get to be. We got to get to where we enjoy the peace every day. Not just when you need it, but every day. So peace is the total well-being that comes from salvation. Peace is a gift from God. Everybody say it's a gift. A gift has two purposes. It can be given. It can be received. And if you're visiting with us today, we want to say thanks for being our guest. And we always treat our guests well. Amen? If you see someone here today that you've never seen before, introduce yourself. Make yourself friendly. But we have a gift for all of our guests. It's good to be a guest at VCF. Amen. We have guest services where you get a gift. Well, you know what? Our God is a giver. We're just reflecting our Father. He's a giver. And see, why does your heart need to be kept? It's the source of your passion, of your appetites. It's the source of what affects your life. You know, your heart is the center. It's where you feel things. It's where things touch you. And the peace that comes from God, it comes in and it keeps your heart. Because to thine own heart be true. If your heart is kept in peace, you're able to make right decisions. When your heart is at peace, it's a good judge of character. It's a good judge of situation. When your heart is at peace. Oh, I'm telling you, there's a peace today. There's a peace that passes understanding. And Christ Jesus, he brings you into the favor of God's peace. He preserves you with peace and enables you to possess it as it possesses you. I want to be possessed by peace. I want peace to flood my soul where it keeps me. It keeps my focus. It keeps my goal. It keeps my way. Go with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We need to go there for a minute. Did you know that there is a way of peace? Peace has a way. Are you heading in the right direction? Are you ready to go down Peace Avenue? Are you ready to travel Highway Peace and Peace Interstate? All right? Mark chapter 5. And let's look at verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, she had an issue, a physical issue, for 12 years, all right? So for 12 years, her body was in turmoil. For 12 years, she was trying to find a solution. She was trying to find an answer, but found none, okay? The Bible said that she suffered many things. Everybody say suffer. Suffer. Of many physicians. And had spent all that she had. So not only, see, money can't buy you peace. She spent all that she had. She tried the world's best, the greatest physicians of her day, of her time. She must have had some money in order to go to all, you know, it costs money to see doctors. And she saw more than one, but found no answer. Still, her body was in turmoil. And she was not better, but rather grew worse. Say she grew worse. Her situation's getting darker, dimmer. Depression is coming. She's wondering, when am I ever going to get rid of this? When is this ever going to change in my life? I need this situation to change. But when she heard of Jesus, She heard that Jesus brings peace to the sick. What's peace to the sick? That means wholeness. That means health. That means healing. That means strength. That means creative miracles. She heard, just like you're hearing today. The minute she heard, faith came to her heart, like it's coming to your heart today. There is something about Jesus. Jesus can change your life. Jesus can change your situation. Jesus can make the difference. Jesus is the solution to every problem. Let me tell you this. I learned this yesterday from a man who's been to 61 countries. He goes and builds buildings for Christian organizations. And he said in China, there are 32,000 converts a day that are coming to Christ. In a communist, iron-held country, people are coming to Christ by the tens of thousands every day. 32,000 people a day coming to Christ in China. He helped a gentleman purchase a flat in Egypt, in Cairo, Egypt. And in this apartment, like, this guy has an internet cafe. He has seen 50,000 documented and recorded Muslims come to Christ in Cairo, Egypt over the internet. Why am I telling you that? Because I'm telling you that Jesus is the answer. I just heard this yesterday. And according to the Jerusalem Post, he said that there are 165,000 martyrs for Christ. People who refused to deny Christ were killed for their faith. Do you have a faith that's worth dying for? Because when you have faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you die, it's a promotion. It's not a demotion. You step over into glory. Hallelujah. Well, let's get back to our story here about this woman and how she found peace. She heard of Jesus. She came in the press or the crowd. She made it. I don't like crowds. Well, your miracle might be in a crowd. Listen, if you suffered for 12 years and you spent all your money, you'd be desperate. We need some desperate people today. We need some people who desperately seek after truth. I'll tell you what, Jesus is the truth. I met Jesus when I was 12. I'm 41 now, soon to be 42, and he's always been faithful. 29 years I've known the Lord. I haven't always been faithful, but he has. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes. Woo! God's got so much peace on him, that peace is in his clothes. It's in his garment. Peace is all around him. All she made a decision. I'm not going to see another doctor. I'm not going to pay another cent. I'm going to touch Jesus because he's got my answer. And straightway, everybody say straightway, or immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. Instantly, her body received peace. We're in verse 29, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague or that affliction. Let me tell you something. God is so real, you'll feel him in your soul. I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. Oh, there have been times I feel him all over me. I tell you what, God feels good. It is good to know God. It is good to be on God's side. It is good to be in relationship with Jesus Christ, for to you to know him and him to know you. Eternal life is about who you know. John 17 said this, eternal life is this, that you may know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. You can know him. How do you get to know someone? Spending time with them. Reading about him, fellowshipping with him, learning about him. You know, Pastor Fiona and I, we've been married for 14 years, and she's still finding out things about me. And I'm still finding things out about her. But for most of the time, she can answer my sentences. Why? Because she knows me. She's taken some time to get to know me. She's seen me at my worst. She's seen me at my best. And she still loves me. And God is even greater than that. Now, verse 30. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. You know, Jesus can recognize faith. He knows when you're in faith or not. He knows when you're just playing around. Oh, I'm just playing around with that Christianity. I don't want to really get fully committed. Why not? You might as well get fully committed. The best way to enjoy water on a hot day is jump in. You don't want a little splash, a little sprinkle. You want to get soaked. So come on, I'm telling you to jump in to the gospel. Jump into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jump in and experience how good it is. I can tell you how good it is for me, but until you taste of it, you'll never know how good it is for you. So I encourage you to taste and see that the Lord is good. And he said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, wouldn't the Son of God, who has the power of the Holy Ghost, know who touched his clothes? See, but he wants people who aren't ashamed to say, "Yeah, I touched your clothes." He doesn't want people who are ashamed of him representing him. Listen, we don't have anything to be ashamed about serving the Lord. And his disciples said unto him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched my clothes?'" See, a whole crowd of people weren't in faith, except for one woman. See, some people just want to try it. But see, this woman believed it. This woman felt it in her heart and confessed it with her mouth, and she was absolutely convinced by her actions that she took. And he looked around to see her that had done this, and he knew it was a her. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him that you say, "Pastor, what does this have to do with peace?" I'm getting to there. I'm glad you asked that question. We're getting to that point. I'm building it up a little bit. And she told him all the truth. Now listen, verse 34. He said unto her, "Daughter, your faith has made you what?" And now he said what? "Go in peace." It was the peace that she got from his presence that made her whole. It was the peace of God that brought peace to her body. It stopped the flow of blood. It healed the body. Now she was made whole, and now she could go and walk in that wholeness. That wholeness was a gift from God, and that it was always available, but she was the one who was bold enough and brave enough to tap into it by faith. So now she had to go with that peace. You may have come here today empty, but you can leave full. You may have come here today confused, but you can go with your mind in order. You may have come sadness, but you can leave glad. Amen? What do you need from God? It's yours, but you got to believe. You got to put your faith. He said, "Go in peace." See, she was made whole, and now she could go in that peace. Can you imagine not being able to work for 12 years and all of a sudden have strength to work? I don't know what kind of business she was in. I don't know where her money came from. But for 12 years, a thief called sickness, called a flow of blood, stole her livelihood, stole her strength, stole her time. All the time that she spent going to physicians. Nothing wrong with physicians. Doctors are good. Luke was a doctor. He wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Doctors are good, but guess what? Doctors are limited. If you're sick and you need to go see a doctor, go see a doctor. But if they can't help you, if they don't make you better, then you can see God. Amen. She had peace. Go in peace. Because now that peace came into her heart, and it kept her mind and her heart, and she went thanking God. and be whole of thy plague. She was made whole with the peace of his presence. See, he is the God of peace. He's not just a candy machine that you put in a quarter and you pull a lever and out comes something good. No. But you put in your faith, your heart, your soul, your life. You be committed to God. Your commitment to God is what is required for you to get the good stuff. Listen, God's got good stuff for you. He's got good stuff. So there is a way. He told her to go in peace. There is a way of peace. Go with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3. And let's look at verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Great, Pastor. How's that going to help me? There's not one righteous. What am I supposed to do? I can't make myself right. Exactly. You can't make yourself righteous, but your trust in someone that is righteous can make you righteous. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. There is a way of peace. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. These are talking about people who are not in the way of peace. They're not following God's way. Jesus is the way. There is no other way other than Jesus. You've got to go the way of Jesus. You've got to go the way of the cross. You've got to go the way of the empty tomb. You've got to go the way of the Holy Spirit. You've got to go the way of the Bible to get to God. Verse 17, and the way of peace have they not known. Maybe you're here today and you've been trying to look for peace, but in all the wrong places you found none. Today you're in the right place. Today you can know the way of peace. There is a way. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. What did this woman do before she came to Jesus? She feared God. She respected him. She reverenced him. She didn't treat what she heard lightly. Listen, she was dealing with this thing for 12 years. And all she needed to do was hear of Jesus. She heard about how the miracles that he performed, how the people got healed, how the people got delivered, and that's all that she heard. And that was enough for her to convince her that if they did it for them, he can do it for me. And she went for it. How many people do we have in here that are willing to go for it? If you're willing to go for it, say, I'm willing to go for it. Hallelujah. Yeah, we Christians need to be bold about their stand. They need to, you know, Jeremiah, it wasn't because he had hot sauce, but he said, fire shut up in my bones. You know, we need some Christians that got some fire in their bones, that got some fire in their belly, that been put through the refining process by the fire of God. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. You can't be good enough to earn peace. Peace is not something you earn. Peace is something you receive. It's a gift. Verse But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that what? Believe. Are you a believer today? That's all you need to do to have the peace of God that passes understanding is simply believe. And if you really believe it, your actions will demonstrate what you believe. Your mouth will demonstrate what you believe. In other words, your mouth and your heart must agree with what God said, not with what you feel. Yes, what you feel is real. What you feel is, it is what you feel. Feelings are real. But you're not to be led by your feelings. Feelings change. You can eat some ice cream and have all your feelings change. You can eat some chocolate. Ooh, I feel different now. Feelings change. Belief doesn't change. You see the difference? Verse 22, we read that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah, we all missed it. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. And go down to verse 28. It says, Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. There was a man named Abraham who lived a long, long time ago. And God gave Abraham a promise that he was going to have a father. He had no sons. He had no daughters, and he was married to a woman called Sarah. And God gave him this promise. And he said, I want you to go. I want you to leave where you are. As someone put it yesterday, I want you to leave your 7-foot ceiling. He lived in a tent, but he wanted him to see the stars. Sometimes we got to get out of our tent. We got to get out of the limits that we put on ourselves. We got to get beyond our insecurities. We got to get beyond our feelings. And we got to go by faith to what God says. So Abraham went, not knowing where he was going, but he went because he believed God. He knew the voice that spoke to him. He often talked with God who spoke to him. He often worshiped God everywhere he went. He set up an altar and he worshiped God. He gave gifts to God. He offered things to God. He did the best that he could to follow God, and he didn't have a son. He didn't have a child, but he had a promise of God. That's all that he had. He didn't even have a book to refer to. All he had was God's voice. That was it. And yet Abraham went, and he made some mistakes along the way, just like all of us have. We've all made mistakes. You know what? Just because you made a mistake doesn't mean that you're worthless to God. You come on God's side, and he'll correct those mistakes. And finally, Abraham told God, hey, what's going on here, God? Seeing, he said, God, when are you going to give me a child? Seeing, I go childless. That was all that God needed. He said, Abraham, let's take a walk outside. I'm paraphrasing. So him and Abraham and God went outside the tent. And he said, Abraham, I want you to look up. And Abraham's looking, and it was a clear night. He said, can you count the stars? It's impossible for you and I to simply count the stars by looking at them. That tells you that to receive righteousness by God is impossible on your own, but with God, all things are possible. And all God said to Abraham was, your descendants are going to be like the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. And that was all that Abraham needed to believe God. And the Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Simply by believing God, by believing what he said, by doing what he said do, going where he said go, that simple act of believing God caused Abraham to be credited to his account as righteous, right standing with God. He had access to God. He had fellowship with God. This was before Jesus even came. And the same way that we have access to God is the same way that Abraham had access to God by believing God. Listen, I sense that there are some people that you just need to believe God. Amen? Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And look at verse 14. It says, above all these things, put on charity. That word charity means love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You've got to be open for God's peace to rule your heart. You've got to let it. How do you let it? Well, first of all, you open the door. You accept the gift that God gave us in Christ Jesus. How many has ever received a birthday gift? How many has ever received a Christmas gift? Did you do anything to get that gift? I don't care how good you tried to be, you missed it. One of those days out of 365 days, I'm guarantee you missed it. I missed it. But yet, they gave you that gift anyway. How many still have those Christmas gifts wrapped? What did you do with the gift? You opened the gift. See, for you to receive a gift and never open it, that's like getting a Christmas gift that's still in the wrapping paper today. But see, when God gives you a gift, you've got to open it to see what's inside. You'll find that when you open it, you'll find that it is the truth. It is the way. It is the life. And it is Jesus Christ. And we have to let his peace rule our hearts, to which you are also called, and be thankful. One way to let the peace of God rule in your heart is to be thankful. Not cranky. Not grumpy. You're not one of the seven dwarfs. Sleepy, Doc, Grumpy, whatever they were, I don't know. No, thankful. Praising. Be thankful. Being thankful, showing gratefulness to God is one way to let peace rule your heart. Being grateful. Then he goes on to say, let the word of Christ dwell in you minutely. No? How are you supposed to let God's word dwell in you? Everybody say richly. When you think of someone rich, what do you think of? Abundance, plenty, more than enough. Amen? That's how you need to let the word of... See, if don't skimp on God's word. Oh yeah, I read my verse today. You ought to read a chapter a day. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How do you get the word in you? What are you doing, Pastor? I'm letting the word get in me. Where's that scripture now? You know, just putting it on your head. It might help you, but it might not get in you like it needs to. In order for the word to get in you, you need to read it. You need to study it. Paul told a young minister, he said, study to show yourself approved. You know, if you can be approved, you can be disapproved. Show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you can rightly divide it, you can wrongly divide it. Show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Did you know that this word is profitable for instruction, for correction? And it'll supply you with everything you need. You don't need anything else but God's word. God can put you in the desert, in the middle of nowhere, And if you have his word, he'll supply your needs. Oh, that's not real. Just talk to the 2 or 3 million Israelites that spent time in the wilderness. What did they have in the wilderness? Was there a Taco Bell in the wilderness? Was there a Burger King in the wilderness? Was there a Funk's in the wilderness? No. But yet their shoes never wore out for 40 years. Woo, that's a nice pair of shoes. How long have you had them? 40 years. That's a nice jacket. How long have you had it? 40 years. Wouldn't that be cool, not having to shop for 40 years? But you know what? That was just the wilderness. That wasn't even the promised land. See, when you're in the wilderness, it's barely get along. It's enough to survive. But God's got more. He's got a promised land for you. But see, the Israelites did not have anything in the wilderness but God. And all Moses had was a stick. But that was enough. See, if all you have is a stick, let God use your stick. Let God touch your stick. All the little boy had was a 2-piece fish dinner from Long John Silver's. And he let Jesus use it. And what happened? He multiplied it. So you got to make a decision today. Are you going to run from God? Are you going to keep getting into the things that you're getting into? Feet that are swift to run to evil? Telling lies? You know, you tell one lie, you got to tell another lie to make up for the lie that you told them. Pretty soon it gets pretty confusing. So you might as well just tell the truth. It's a lot easier to come clean than it is to try to hide your sin, because you're not helped. When you hide your sin, you don't prosper, the Bible says. So if you're hiding something, you're not hiding it. You're actually harming yourself. You might as well confess it and let God take care of it and let him heal you. And then you need to teach one another. That's another way to keep peace. Teach one another. Because teaching will force you to study. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to begin to close. 1 woman with the issue of blood, she had to find her way to peace. Getting there wasn't easy. You know, if you're in a weakened state and you got to crawl on your hands and knees, because the Bible says she touched the hem. If she could walk, she'd probably touch a different part. But because she had to crawl, she touched the hem. Why did she have to crawl? Because she was weak. But you know what? She pressed through. She knew that that was the answer. She knew that that's where her peace was. Sometimes you got to press through some things to get to peace. But it's worth it. 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's look at verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion on one another. That eliminates judging one another, doesn't it? Love as brethren, be humble, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, if you love life and if you want to see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, let his lips that speak no guile, that's no deceit, that means be honest, be truthful, let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensure it or pursue it. I don't know about you, but I'm in pursuit of peace. You ever see the Dukes of Hazzard? You know, Roscoe P. Coltrane. He said, I'm in hot pursuit. He was always in hot pursuit of the Duke boys. I'm in hot pursuit of God's peace. Peace is available to everybody who believes. Peace is available to you today. Peace is the solution to your problem. It's the cure to your disease. It's the strength that you need in a trial. It's the calm that comes in that'll keep your heart and mind focused on what you need to be focused on. The peace of God, the peace that passes understanding, can be yours today. It's available. You can know the peace of God. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 22. Flee youthful lusts or youthful passions or youthful desires. But notice what it tells you to follow. Follow righteousness, follow faith, follow charity or love, and follow peace. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and unlearned questions. It tells us that we need to follow after peace. Who are you following today? What are you following today? If it's anything other than peace, you're not going to get what you need. But there is a peace that passes understanding that will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It is perfect peace because it comes from God. It is divine in its nature. It'll keep you secure. It'll set up a garrison or a fortress in your life. It's something that you can rest on. It's something that will hold you up. It's something that will help you. You want to know how to deal with problems? Have the peace of God. And when you have peace, guess what? You can help someone else get peace. When Jesus would enter into a place, he would say, "Peace be unto you." Because wherever he was, peace was there. And whoever received him when he came had the peace that he came to give. He could say, "Peace be unto you," and you could slam the door in his face. And guess what? That peace will leave. Oh, yeah. Jesus told his disciples, he said, "If you go to a city and they reject you, come and shake the dust off your feet and don't say, 'Let your peace come back unto you.'" But to all those who receive the gospel, he would say, "Let your peace be here." There is peace today. There is a peace that passes understanding. It can be yours today. Amen. I want everybody to close your eyes for a minute. I want you to reverence the Lord God. I want you to think about what I've said today. I want you to think in your life, in your heart, do you have the peace that I'm talking about? Do you have the peace that I've described? Do you have the peace that passes understanding? If you don't, you can have it today. First of all, is there anyone here, without anybody looking around, that you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't know him. I'm not going to have you come up right now. I just want you to put your hand in the air and put it down. If you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to know peace, I want to give you an opportunity to know that. You say, "Pastor, I want you to be honest. I don't have the peace that you're talking about." Put your hand up in the air. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put that hand down. Is there any others? I see that hand. Thank you. I'm talking about the peace. That pastor, I see that hand. Thank you. Any others? You don't have the peace that I'm talking about. There's turmoil in your heart. There's confusion in your mind. Peace can straighten all that out. Is there anybody else here that would say, "Pastor, I don't have the peace that you're talking about. My life's a mess. I need help. I need to know the peace." Any other hands? All right, I want you to stand up with me. You're about to make the most important decision that you've ever made in your life. Everybody stand up. We're all going to make it together. Amen? We are going to renew our commitment to peace. Maybe you have the peace that I'm talking about. You're just making you're renewing your commitment. You're getting a refresher course of peace. Amen? You're opening yourself up to new peace, more peace. Say this, say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe in your peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You are the God of peace. And I accept the peace that comes to me through Jesus Christ. Today, I believe your word. I put my faith in Christ. And I ask you to come into my life, to change me, to transform me, to touch me, to fill me, to help me. In Jesus' name, I receive the peace of God. Your peace is my peace. I have your peace. I'm at peace with you. I'm ready to do your will. I'm ready to give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. And if you prayed that for the very first time, you made the greatest decision that you'll ever make. I made that decision when I was 12 years old, and I don't regret it today. Amen. And maybe you're here today, and for those of you that have the time, maybe you need prayer. We believe in the power of prayer here. Maybe you just need hands laid on you. Maybe you're dealing with a sickness in your body. Well, you need that peace. You need that transferring of anointing. See, when that woman touched the hem of his garment, she didn't know what she was going to get, but she got the total package. And I believe that God just wants to touch you. So I want to invite those who would like prayer for anything that you need prayer for in the name of Jesus. And if you have to go, you can go. But for those of you that need prayer, I want you to come up right now and come and be ready to receive from the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just come right now. There is a peace that passes understanding for you. Come and get a piece of the peace. Amen.